Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
I get to share with you the message. It's my privilege to be able to share in this season, and this whole season of others is way more, like I said before, way more than just a few week block where we just focus on outside these walls. It's who we are. It's our DNA, right? It's our culture. It's our mandate. It says it on the wall out there, lost, found. You know, we're believing to be a church that sees people come to know Jesus. It has to be our mandate, isn't it? It's what Jesus has called us to do. It's what we are called to do as Christians. Yet that can be hard sometimes, can't it? You know, it's one thing being a Christian. It's another thing being able to proclaim that out in your world, isn't it? And so hopefully today, my word, it's been challenging me, myself, as I've been preparing it, but I'm going to share around this whole area of personal evangelism and what that looks like. I'm going to share some stuff out of the scriptures as well as give some practical tips, because it's one thing hearing sort of scripturally about what it is or me telling you that we have to go out and do it, but sometimes we ask ourselves, how do I do it? How do I become an evangelist in my world? You know, right now as a church, I think there's a real grace on us to see the lost found. We've been incredibly blessed recently to see many people come to know Jesus Christ inside this building, but it doesn't happen inside this building. It happens because people out there are sharing the love of Jesus. It happens because out there people are inviting people in to see what has changed their life, to see the God who has changed and transformed them, hey? Matthew 9 verse 37 says this, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." And the laborers, that's you and me, right? That's what we're called to be. We're called to be the laborers. Another way of looking at it is Jesus has also said to us in Matthew 5 verse 14 that we are the light. And I want to read that to you in Matthew 5:14-16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We are called to be laborers, but we're also called to be the light to the world. And so today I've called this message, "This Little Light of Mine." And many of you who may have grown up in church may resonate with that nice, cute little song as something you grew up singing in children's church. But let me tell you, it's way more than just a kid's song. As you read the words to this song, it is so powerful and profound and exactly the declaration that we need to live every single day. Let me read you some of these lyrics, and I'm going to abbreviate it to prevent the repetition. I'm not going to sing it. I appreciate the love, or abuse, I don't know. It says, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Right? How powerful are those actual words that we sing as kids, but we don't really realize the power of them? But I know a lot of us are thinking here today, because it's the same with me as well, you know, that it's a lot easier said than done, shining for Jesus. It's easy to preach this stuff and, you know, sit there and go, yeah. But when we walk out the walls, how do we actually apply that? That's where the challenge occurs, isn't it? And it's for me as well as you. You know, so often we're gripped by fear, intimidation. Our insecurities all just rise to the surface as we get fearful about speaking to someone about the love of Jesus in our life. We can say to someone, "Yeah, I go to church." But it's a big step to be able to say to someone, "Hey, do you know Jesus Christ for yourself? Do you know the God that has transformed this world? He's changed my life." And so today I'm believing that I'm going to share some things that will be an encouragement to you. And if you walk out of these doors singing "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to Let It Shine," I'll be a happy man as well, because it means that you've got something in your heart that you are called to shine, right? You are called to shine your light. But you know the truth of the matter, that while we are not shining, if we are hiding under a basket, you know, like it says in the passage there, that we're hiding under a bushel, if we're hiding our light under a basket, if that's how we're living, the truth of the matter is Jesus Christ is not being shared. If we give in to our fears, our insecurities, the potential for embarrassment, it means that the gospel of Jesus is not being shared. And isn't that such a greater price to pay than a little embarrassment for ourselves? So today I want to share and hopefully give tips to equip us to be able to go from here, that no matter your personality, no matter your spheres of influence, no matter what your life experiences have been, that every single one of us can be a light. Every single one of us can shine that little light inside of us. And I know for me, as I've been preparing again, I've really had to focus intentionally on how to apply this. I've been focusing in every conversation I've had with people out here, tradies and whatever, I've been thinking, hang on, am I shining my light? Am I taking every opportunity? Am I discerning what's going on here and responding? Or am I just dealing with the comfortable? And if we can get anything across here today, it's that you can shine, right? Verse 14 of Matthew 5 again says, you are the light of the world. You are. It's not a suggestion or a recommendation by Jesus in that passage. He doesn't suggest that, oh, you can be the light of the world, or, hey, maybe you can try to become the light of the world. No, it says you are the light of the world. And I love that, because it's a statement. It's a declaration, right? Because you know what? That if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've made a decision to make Him the Lord of your life, then you've accepted Him, the light, into your life. And then the light is in you. If Jesus is in you, the light is in you. So all you have to do is let it shine. You don't have to do anything, be a specific type of person. If Jesus is in you, the light is in you. You just have to let it shine. So we need to get busy shining Him, right? Charles Spurgeon says this, "The object of our shining is not that men may see how good we are, nor even see us at all, but that they may see grace in us and God in us, and they will cry, 'What a father these people must have.'" And I love that, because it's so awesome that it's not about us drawing people to me or to you. It's actually got nothing to do with me or to you or to my personality or your personality. But it says, as we shine the light of Jesus, as we testify to what He has done in our life, if we say to people, come and see what Jesus has done in my life, we're not pointing to ourselves anymore. We're pointing to Him. They will come and they will see the glory of Jesus. They will see Him work. They will see the truth and hear the truth. And people will actually acknowledge there has to be a God in this place. There has to be something more. How many times have you heard that from people when they've come into church or come into an environment like this, or even as you've been out in your workplaces and schools, people have said, there's something different about you. There's something different about this place. There's an energy. There's a fear. There's something about it. It's not about you. There's something else. They're searching. They're pointing to something else. That as you shine your light, you're pointing people to Jesus. You know, throughout the Bible, God's glory is likened to the light of the sun, right? So just as the sun is a source of light, it creates its own light, its own energy. You know, the likes of the moon is just a reflection of the sun. But you know, as we receive Jesus in our hearts, we become that light, right? We become that without us saying yes to Jesus, right? Without us acknowledging Jesus or saying yes to Jesus, we can't muster up enough light to shine. We can only shine if we've accepted Jesus. if we're alive with Jesus in our hearts, right? Isaiah 60 shows us that without the light of God, the world is covered with a thick darkness, a darkness of sin, of pain, of ruin. Every single one of us have seen that. We know that. We know what that's like, right, in our world. We've seen it in our every single day. We've seen the darkness. We know it's out there. But God is the light to the world. It is our job to point people to Him. When we stand up for Jesus, His light comes upon us and we shine. And there's a reason for us to shine. It's to draw the nations back to Him. It's to draw people back to Him. We created in His image. We created in relationship with Him. As we shine His light, we're drawing people back to Him. But that's all good said, right? How do we do that? How does that look in reality? How do we reach out? How do we actually speak to people? How do I shine my light? I want to share a few ways of reaching out that hopefully stir and challenge us today. And it's my hope and prayer that as I share these, that you will be activated in your life. That you won't walk out of here just going, oh yeah, good message, or oh yeah, okay message. But you'll walk out of here activated. That you'll walk out of here with a tip, with something that you can apply in your life to be able to shine His light. Do you know that every single personality can shine? Every personality. It's not exclusive to extroverts, right? Every single personality can shine. If you receive Jesus in your life, like I said before, you can shine. Now, I want to break this down and be super practical today because that's how I learn. And I've broken down a bunch of approaches of personal evangelism into four styles, right? And I truly believe that every one of us has a God-given capacity to reflect Him, to shine His light, right? And by no means are there only four ways, but this is just, I couldn't have too many more candles fit on here to example it, right? So we had to go with four. But I know that every single one of us will be able to relate to one of these styles, maybe just a little bit. Maybe you'll be able to relate to a couple of them. But I'm hoping by sharing these styles that you'll be able to see, oh yeah, I can be a light. I can share the love of Jesus in my world. Oh yeah, that relates to me. I can do that. And you know, who doesn't love a good candle, hey? You know, I'm blessed with a good wife that has lots of these things, so I had many a choice, but you know. So, you know, you wouldn't find these in a bachelor pad, would you? I don't know. Anyone got these in a batch pad? Richard, you know? He literally asked me, are these all yours? I'm like, mate, that's only what I found on the counter. You know, so it's like, you know, candles are good. Candles bring atmosphere. They provide warmth, right? They provide mood. But most importantly, they provide light, right? Every single one of these candles look very different. They smell different. They light different. But the similarity is, they are all light. They all emit light. And it's the same with us. Every single one of us, we're different. We're going to react differently. We're going to talk differently. We relate to people differently. But every single one of us can shine a light. So my first style today is the straight shooter. All right? So the first one here we're lighting up, it's bold. It's tall, it's unmissable, it stands out, right? The straight shooter. An example of the straight shooter is Peter in the Bible, right? An incredible story and testimony that testifies to this we can find in Acts 2. And in verse 14 of Acts 2, it says, "Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, 'Listen carefully, all of you.' And then Peter went on to preach for many hours," it says. So I'm only going to be here for 2 hours to preach to you, so you should be great. It's all good. Some of you actually believe it. No. But Peter preached for many hours. And then what happens at the end? In verse 41, it says, "Those who believed what Peter said were baptized, and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. As Peter stood up, was bold, took his moment and declared what God had done in his life, declared it, thousands of people came to know Jesus. Thousands of people got pointed to Jesus. Peter's star was to be bold, to step out and take a risk. He was a disciple that jumped out of the water to walk on water after all, right? Now, characteristics of this person that you might relate to. You know, they're confident, assertive, straight to the point. You may love to challenge people to make a decision. And I'm definitely not talking here about someone who is self-righteous or judgmental, because every single aspect here has to point to the love of Jesus. Every style has to be done with love and with consideration of other people. None of this is done with selfish intent. You know, but natural communicators and natural born leaders are often this style. Now, you may be someone who is confident to stand up in your workplace and call something out, call out a truth when it's there. You may be more than confident to step up in that environment. You may be one of these incredible people that can stand up in your school, and if you get the opportunity, you can stand up in your form class and you can preach the gospel and give an altar call in your school. How powerful is that? I couldn't dream of doing that when I was at school. Honestly, I was at school in my English lit class, and I would sit there having to speak in front of 10 people and go red as a beetroot, right? That was how I would go at speaking at school. I've changed a little bit, so. But you know, some people are just, they're bold, they're direct, they're the straight shooter. The second one here is the thinker. Everyone's waiting to see if it actually lights. I'm blaming Leanna if it doesn't. The thinker. This is a straight, classy candle. It's not frilly, but it represents truth. Right? Characteristics are these people are inquisitive. They love to study. They love to be logical and analytical. They love to study the word. They love to study apologetics. They like to be up to date with the secular traits of what is going on in politics and everything and be able to relate that to the word as well. They love giving an answer to questions. An example of this is Paul, and we find this in Acts 17. And as this whole story goes, Paul was walking through a city that was made up, and there were idols and everywhere about different gods that represented different things. And Paul found an idol set up to the unknown God. And so he saw that, and he knew that that was the God that we believe in, that that was the God that he served. And these people had no idea who he was. Now, these people were a people that loved to study, that loved to learn and question everything. They were always discussing the latest ideas. And it says in Acts 17, verse 18, he also had a debate with some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. Now, Paul spoke to them about their idols, the things that they stood out and believed in, and he wrapped everything around with the gospel message. He delivered the gospel message in a way that didn't just tear down their beliefs, but he debated them to the point that eventually he brought them around. And it says in verse 34, and some joined him and became believers. Paul's style was to help people overcome intellectual roadblocks in order to lead them to Jesus. It wasn't about fighting them, but it was about overcoming objections to lead them to Jesus. And I love these people that are asking questions, because there's a whole bunch of people out there who just have always got questions. And I will never knock that, because the thing I love about that style is that when you have your answer, man, you stand up and you can deliver with clarity and boldness the message of Jesus Christ to people. And when you come up against people who are objective and just want to debate, you can bring a rounded debate and bring people back to the love of Jesus. You can direct them through to the truths of the scriptures, which answer all their questions. And I love that. And if that's you, be bold and confident. Never be embarrassed that you just want to ask questions, because that will be your ability to be able to have clarity of thinking when you're speaking to others. You need to shine that light inside of you, whatever it is. The third candle here is the invitation. The party. This is the cupcake. This is the attractive, inviting, exciting style. Characteristics of this person in this style are they are passionate, they're hospitable, they're relational, they're persuasive. This style just wants to share what is going in their life and invite others to be a part of it. I love how we put it here. It's the come and see mentality. It's a mentality that Jesus has done so much in my life. You have to come and see what he has done. You have to come. This is a style that it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for a day, a week, a month. You are just so on fire and you just want everybody to experience what you've experienced. And I love seeing people who have got this style because they are just so passionate, even though they don't know everything. They don't have all the answers, but what they do have is a testimony. They've got a testimony of how Jesus Christ changed their life, how he has transformed them, and they can't help but share that with everybody around them. We read here in John 9, we hear the story of a man who says, "One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." What a testimony. This man was blind from birth, but Jesus healed him. And no matter what anybody said, that was his experience. That was his reality. Nobody could deny that. And so he couldn't stop telling people what Jesus had done for him. Last week, we read this story in church about the Samaritan woman. And in John 4, we hear this story and she runs into town. In verse 29, we see, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" You know, she was, everything about her was like, "Come and see. This man has told me everything about my life. Could he be the Messiah? Come." And the whole town poured out because of her testimony, because of her come and see moment, because of her invitation. And in verse 42, it says, the people of the town said, "Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world." Because this Samaritan woman had been impacted by Jesus, she couldn't help but share. She told everyone, "Come and see," and they did. Our stories, each one of us needs to involve a come and see moment. We have to have that ability to be able to say, "Come and see. God has transformed my life." You may be in conversation. People may refute what's going on. You say, "Man, you've got to come and see. This Jesus has changed my life and he can change yours too." It's an invitation that if people are open, they can't help but ask more questions and seek out the answers. I love what I saw here on Friday night. I came along to youth and we had the most incredible evening. We saw almost 200 young people here, right here in this building, passionate. And we saw an altar call where we gave a response, where Pastor Chad gave the response to people to come and meet Jesus for the first time. And we would have seen over 50 people pouring down to this altar, over 20 of them making a decision to follow Jesus. But you know, not one of those people comes unless somebody else has said, "Come and see, come." And that is where we see by you shining your light and saying, "Come and see." You don't need to know everything.
You just need to shine your light. The fourth one here is the warm hug. I know. The last service called it the Ken Fletcher. This is my wife's favorite candle. It's a vanilla caramel. It's what we have in our house to create a welcoming, warm, and cozy atmosphere. And legit, it makes it smell like someone's been baking, so it's always good as well. That and a coffee machine go down well. The characteristics of the warm hug is relational warmth. It's conversational. It's friendship orientated. It's inviting people into your life, into your home. It's a bridge to Jesus. It's other-centered. It works behind the scenes. It's patience. It's acts of kindness that ultimately show people God's loving heart for them. There's a story in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 36, of a lady called Tabitha. And it says about her that she was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. Now, you need to know that serving people, loving your neighbors, being a light in your world is an incredible gift, and that is shining your light. You welcoming people into your home. If you're just someone who loves baking, who loves hospitality, who loves cooking, inviting someone in, who loves coffee, and you just invite somebody into your home, that can open the door to sharing the love of Jesus with them. It's such an incredible gift, and if that is you, I want to encourage you to shine your light. Now, these styles and descriptions are not just stuck to four, right? They're by no means the be-all and end-all of what we need to do or the opportunities to love people, right? But I just wanted to show you and reveal to you a few styles to give practical tips of how you can be a light. Maybe you identify with one of these personalities or character types and you can see yourself in one of those explanations. And maybe today you're thinking of someone in your world that you can be a light to. And that's my challenge to you today, that you can be a light to somebody in your world. Every single one of us can be a light to somebody in our world. As you can see, every single candle looks different. It lights different. It presents different. But every single one of them a light. Every single one of them show light, reveal light. And you know, we have to realize, especially in today's day and age, our world is so devoid of kindness. All we have to do is a little bit in order to shine our light. All we have to do is a little bit to make a big impact in somebody else's life. We don't have to be gifted to share our faith. We just need to be generous with our lives. Do you know, people don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. Every single one of us, we can't just go out guns blazing and just push ourselves into people's lives. We need to go to God. We need to be found in prayer, right? This doesn't happen in our own strength. I want to read Acts 1 verse 8 says this, because everything is birthed in prayer. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's not in your own strength. That's the beauty of it. If it was in our own strength, we'd succumb to fears and insecurities, wouldn't it? That's when we do succumb to those, when we're scared and embarrassed about the reaction we're going to get. But when we're founded in prayer and going to God and being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that's when we can walk out with conviction and shine our light. I want to share a quick few tips, and got this from Andy Stanley. He's an incredible pastor and preacher in the US, and he shares these simple tips that are practical cues and prompts to look for in conversations. Because every single one of us, right, we can look like everything's going well on the outside. You've all got people in your worlds who you think, oh no, they've got everything together. I can't share Jesus with them because they look like they've got it all together. They're going to shut me down. But let me tell you these cues, these prompts that'll help you and should trigger in you a place where you can invite them, whether to church, whether to your home, whether an opportunity to pray for them. And these three cues are this. I'm new to the area. You meet somebody new, you chat to them, you ask them where they're from, they say, oh, I'm new into the area. Bang, cue, prompt. Secondly, life's really tough at the moment. That's another prompt. There's an openness that comes when life is tough. When life is tough, people are looking for answers. They're so often saying there must be an answer somewhere. And thirdly, I've just had a big life change. And I want to encourage you, if you hear any of these three prompts when you're talking with people, whether people in your worlds already or new people that you just meet on the street or in your schools, unis, workplace, let these be prompts to you to respond to the love of Jesus, to relay the love of Jesus, to shine your light. I love it when I'm in playgroup that we run here, or even Heroes Academy, I've done it before. I love asking people their stories. I love chatting to people and finding out their story. And whenever I'm talking to people, I'm saying, oh, whereabouts do you live? So often if they say, oh, I'm new to the area, I'm like, light bulb. Because people, when they're new to the area, they're searching for community. They may be new into the country. They may have moved into state. But they're searching. They're searching for community. We're all designed to be in community. None of us are designed to live in isolation. So when someone says to you, I'm new to the area, it's a prompt for you to say, hey, I know an incredible community. I'm a part of an amazing community that is so full of life, that is so full of joy. I have found a place and a home in this community. I'd love to invite you to come with me sometime. You know, not everything is about inviting people to church, but that's an incredible opportunity, and it is what the church is called to be. It's called to be a lighthouse in the community. It's called to be a place which shines Jesus' light out into our community. And so let that be a prompt to you to invite people in. The second one, life's tough. You know, when someone says life's tough, it's really difficult at the moment. You know what you can do? And this takes boldness. But I guarantee you, in nearly every situation, it's going to become a positive result. You can say to them, hey, I'm a Christian, and I would love to pray for you right now if you would let me. And a simple prayer. You don't need to pray a long, tedious prayer. You can pray a simple prayer over them. Jesus, I pray for so-and-so. I pray you bring a peace into their heart right now. I pray you help them deal with whatever situation's going on and let them know your love. Amen. Did you know we're not called to be the answer to everybody? We are not called to be the answer, right? I love this concept of the world links in a chain, right? From someone's journey to receive salvation. There's all links in the chain, and each one of us are called to play a part, one link at a time, right? Your link maybe invite somebody to church. You may not know the outcome, but your link might be just shining your light to that person in that moment. Whatever that looks like to you, whatever representation it is, you just need to shine your light. And I had this opportunity a little while ago, and for Beck and I, we tried to reach out to our neighbors for years. We probably lived next door to them for almost 10 years. Great people, great family. But they were unbelievers, just a good old Aussie family. We had the opportunity to invite and bring them to church at one point. They came along and said, oh yeah, great, it was great, but yeah, it's not really our thing. And then, you know, went back to just being neighbors. I mean, the easy option in that moment is just to give up, right? But we had to make a decision to keep shining our light, to keep loving on them. And now by no means am I saying I'm perfect or anything like that. But it's a matter of getting back up again. Just keep shining that light. Just keep being an example. And you know, years later, this one day we had a knock at the door, and it was the neighbor. And he came to the door and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, "Hey, I know that we may not believe in your God or necessarily do the things you do, but my wife's cancer's just come back and riddled through her spine. And we know you guys pray. And we would love to know if you would like to pray for us, because we have no other answer. We don't have the answers. We have no hope. Can you pray for us?" And it was such an incredible privilege and a realization that we can never give up. Now, Beck and I had the opportunity to go and pray for our neighbor and speak over them. Now, I'd love to finish the story by saying that, yeah, then they came to church, got saved, and lived happily ever after. But that wasn't the outcome that we experienced. But I don't know what is next, right? We just played our part. We were our link in the chain. Could I have done better? Absolutely. But I was able to shine my light in that one moment. And it was just our prayer that God would do his part. That as we respond and do our bit, that God will do the rest. Now, if you feel comfortable, I want to ask you to just close your eyes.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.